Everyone, I want to thank you today for tuning in again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord cherishes us, folks. He loves us. And as we get to know the Lord, we get to know someone that cares about us in every possible way. The Lord wants every aspect of your life to be just as healthy as his is. That's the God I know. And as I get to know him, drawing near to him, hearing him out, that's the person I know. The Word of God reveals him as a committed father to his children. He loves us. The first commandment he gave Adam was to be fruitful. The second commandment was to multiply. The third commandment was to replenish the earth. He wanted Adam to refill the earth because it was once populated before he made Adam. He didn't say fill the earth. He said refill the earth, replenish the earth. And then he said subdue it. Don't let it get out of control like the other society did. Subdue your kingdom. Don't let what happened to Lucifer's kingdom happen to your kingdom. And the fifth thing he said was to have dominion over it. The Lord wanted Adam to do the very same thing that he does. The exact same thing that he does. The Lord doesn't build things for it to go bad. Everything that he builds, he intends for it to stay in a good condition and get better, just like he does. So God made man in his own image. This kind of wisdom is not found among men without God. This kind of wisdom is not found in man's religion. Men do not have this kind of wisdom. But God told Adam to do these very same things. To use the same wisdom that he operates in. With the same love that he has. And the way we do it, we can only do it if we live a pure life. The moment we accept any part of Satan's lies as our truth, we stop the process. I'm going to say that again. The very moment we receive some of Satan's lies as our truth, we hinder and stop the process of the fullness of what God wants to do in our lives. And we must choose to follow God in order to have the success of God. Now, as far as the love of God is concerned, he doesn't require anything of us. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us more than we know, more than we're able to sense. And when you study God's word, you see the things that he put in place just for you. Everything that we need, he delivered. Everything that we need, he already delivered. And we access it by our faith. Habakkuk said, the just shall live by his faith. And by our faith, we live. But when people accept lies, Satan's lies, as your truth or as truth, then the process is on hold for a while till you get that straight. It's very important to know that God is good. He didn't change. Mankind has changed in every generation. And unless our children see us conquer the evil of the satanic system of this world, it's easier for them to fall into the same trap that we did. Somewhere, somebody's going to have to say no and seek God out and live the life before their upcoming generation. Your children need to see you praying to the Lord your God and Savior in your own house. Your children need to see you speaking His word over your life and their life. If you want them to be better governors of your grandchildren, you're going to have to be a better governor of them. That's just the way it is. No tree can produce another type of fruit than the kind of fruit that it's already designed to produce. In other words, a ministry can only produce fruit after its own kind. And I've seen it so many times. If a pastor's fearful, then the congregation becomes fearful and they act on it. If a father is fearful, then the children, they struggle with fear. We have to get rid of fear. We have to get rid of Satan's devices. Those that are lustful, they produce people that are lustful. And those that are healthy produce people that are healthy. A ministry that's healthy and obeying God, the people that come, they follow the same pattern every time. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. It's not even possible. And those that love God, they leave their children with a legacy. The Lord thought of everything. He delivered what we couldn't deliver for ourselves. In Isaiah 53, this is the redemption chapter. It says, who has believed our report? Can you find anybody that'll believe on Jesus? Who has believed our report? And to whom is the Lord? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he should grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He looks like a regular man, like one of us. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. This is our Savior that Isaiah is talking about. This is how humanity treated our Savior. They didn't know they needed him to be a Savior. And this is what happened when he first came on the scene, and even now. Verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That's how people thought of him. And many people right now, they think Jesus died for nothing. But he won our salvation. And look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He did something about our sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. He did something about the sins we do on purpose. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So if you're depressed, trust Jesus, because he overcame your depression for you. He paid the price so that you could be at peace. And with his stripes, we're healed. This is physical healing. If your body has any kind of deformity, any kind of problem, any kind of pain, anything that's wrong, even mental problems, the word of God says, by his stripes, and with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we're healed. You believe that verse, Your body has to change. Your faith can change the facts on the ground where you are. The facts in your body can be destroyed and changed and corrected by the facts of Christ. You take the redemption that God gave us through Jesus Christ seriously. You believe it. You stand on the word. Your body has to change. And you have to fight the good fight. You believe this word, you live. And you can alter the process that's already happening. Because the just shall live by his faith. Salvation. Most people do believe for salvation, but you can't feel salvation. You have a peace that was given to you. And you don't desire sin anymore from the heart because you got a brand new heart. But if you can believe that, why not believe for the rest? In other words, if you learn to overcome depression, sickness, anything that's wrong, anything that went wrong, you're going to find out that it's easy. And then you can help others understand what happened with you. And you can inspire them to use their faith and they can have the same results, especially your children, because they live with you. Your life needs to heal before your children. Every problem I have, I go to the Father. I say, Lord, help me understand how I can change these problems. Help me understand what I need to do to get the results I'm after. And I study his word. And the Holy Spirit helps me understand things and I put it in motion. And I do things better and better. Because we're designed to be fruitful, to multiply, replenish, to build, to subdue. You don't let the enemy tear your kingdom down. You still have the responsibility. You don't need to let Satan mess your life up just because he messed everybody else's life up. And just because he may have messed up your parents' life. Don't live their drama. Live God's word. And I thank the Lord for that. We're dealing with end times, but instead of talking about all the things that's going to happen to take place, I'd rather prepare people so that they can live and conquer in this life so that you can thrive in the end times. Your life don't have to be put on hold. It doesn't have to suffer. You can learn to overcome and thrive in this life. Now, this month, the month of June is the 10-year anniversary of Living Letter Ministries, and I thank God for it. The Lord can help you do whatever it is you need to do. And this ministry was not easy. I fix cars so that I can pay for radio time. And my schedule is tight and full, and I thank God for it. The Lord blessed me to be on the air 10 years, and I plan to do this as long as I live. I have no, I look forward to what's ahead. And I look forward to everything multiplying and getting better. I want this ministry to grow. And I don't just want to do a great ministry. I want people to live and thrive. And I hope this ministry helps people do exactly that. Not just get saved, but thrive in this life, in Satan's face. See, the world needs us to live according to God's word and heal according to God's word and thrive according to God's word and be a loving church just like God called us to be. We need to live just like him. Our love should match his love, should mirror his love. Our life should mirror his life. All we have to do is receive his wisdom. I've always had to receive his wisdom to do the next step. Anybody that wants to be a blessing to this ministry, you can. Send proceeds of any amount to Living Letter Ministries, 300 Mulberry Road, Birmingham, Alabama, 35214. The same information is on the website, newlivingletters.com, on the Contact Us page. I thank God for that. Visit the website. All these radio broadcasts is on newlivingletters.com. And there's an old site called livingletterministries.com. Now, God loves his people. That's the purpose of it all. Everything on the website is free. All the broadcasts are free. These broadcasts are free. And at the end of every the radio broadcasts are actually a little longer than what's on the what you hear on the radio. I give it a few extra minutes in case there's more time to use. But if you go on the site, you'll hear the whole of every radio broadcast. Now, back to what God was saying. The Lord loves us, and he thrives. He wants us to thrive like he thrives. His love is a thriving love. He doesn't love us with a stale love. He loves us with a thriving love. When we operate in his love, we thrive like him. We live like him. We prosper like him. Sometimes people, they prosper. They're after luxury. But I don't know God as a luxurious God. He's faithful. He's kind. His love is generous. And all the beautiful things he has, he shares. He shares it with others. He doesn't lock it up in a vault somewhere. He's very generous with what he does. You operate in his love, you'll see your life prosper in every form. The more you walk in love, the more you'll see. Love makes you want to get out of bed and do something for somebody. Love is a verb. It's not concern says, I wish I could do something for them. I wish they wasn't going through that problem. But it does nothing to help them. But charity does. Charity says, I'm going to help them. Now, I see people all the time I want to do something for. But I have a tight schedule. I can't deviate from it I just can't deviate from what I already got to do. But through this vehicle, I can help people. Through the things God give me to write, I can help them that way. I wish I could do more. But the Lord's love is strong. As you walk in love, you get strength. Now, the Word of God charges your heart so that you can cooperate with the Lord. In other words, if you study the Word, the Holy Spirit will take those thoughts and put them together for you and reveal thoughts to you that can help your life and take it forward. One of the greatest challenges, like we said last week, is change. When people don't like to change their thoughts and opinions. But when you hear God's greater opinions and his greater thoughts, it casts a light. The light of God's wisdom is cast on the thoughts that you have, and you see that his thoughts are greater. That's why one scripture said, the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, got mad because God was going to love the Gentiles. He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." That's because they had no desire to walk in his love. They had no concern, not even concern, for other Gentiles, other people. Now, all Jews are not that way, but these were a few. And they persuaded people to do what they did. And then that's why the Lord said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. You're not on the same page with me." That's why when Jesus came, Jewish leaders again, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill. They hated the Word of God. Because why? Because they hated Jesus. He's the focus of the Word of God. Every book of the Bible helps paint a picture of Jesus Christ. He's the wisdom of the Proverbs. He's the relationship of the Psalms.